There was this rule or law or ordinance that had been passed or considered in this city that there will only be few numbers of fowls or birds that can be taken care as pets, and they have listed some kind of birds that cannot be used or be taken care as pets. Anyway, if you were to choose a bird to represent your personality, what bird do you choose? If you were a peacemaker, you may choose dove or pigeon. And if you love to flaunt or display your beauty or your handsomeness, you may choose the peacock. Would you choose the crow or the raven or vulture to represent you? Maybe the hawk or the sparrow or the loony, or if you are not a flyer, the quail. Well, or eagle. You like eagle? Eagle is a very powerful flyer and considered the king of the birds. The eagle is popularly used as symbol of power, symbol of authority, symbol of sovereignty. Eagle strength is undeniable. It can soar high and not grow weary. There was this video picture that had been posted online where the eagle was beaten by a snake, but instead of shaking that snake, it flew high above, and the snake cannot grasp air perhaps, and it released the eagle, and the snake died. Well, it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, let's read this together meditatively. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let's think about that for a moment. What is it that you feel like you are so worried about? You are worried, you are so tired of doing such and such or thinking about such and such that there's no solution that you can think about. Well, this can be these weary things can be experienced by students in their studies. Can you students trust this word of God when you grow weary in your studies? How about parents? Parenting can be wearisome. Well, it requires faith. And the result of faith in the Lord has been compared to the strength, to the power of an eagle. No tiredness, no weary. This is exactly what the Lord Jesus invited believers to experience when he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, verse 30, let's read. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Did you know that even hopeful pastors or seminarians can experience weariness in their studies? I know of my classmates who would skip Sunday services or Wednesday prayer meeting. They would not attend because of the requirements in seminary. They're so worried, and they sense that burnout in their studies. And I question, why is it that passage where the Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Why is it that it's hard to grasp? Why is it that it's hard to apply in our lives? Why is it that these future pastors cannot apply this seemingly very simple passage? When you sense that coming to the Lord Jesus is tougher than doing on our own, finding rest for our weary soul, then ask, "Lord, increase my faith. I want to find rest in you." Did you observe that even in coming during worship service, listening to him or singing our praise song in thankfulness to the Lord, you feel that some kind of relaxed sense in your soul? You feel that you are rested. And that's a very simple experience that should be maximized even if you are not in the church building. Meaning, when you sense that you are wearied, when you sense that you are tired, then, "Lord, increase my faith, I feel tired." Is this applicable physically? I believe so. Because there's no specific rest that the Lord mentioned here. Is this applicable mentally? I believe so. If you are tired of thinking of the solution of problem in school for students, or problem for parenting, problem at work, is this applicable in tired with relationship? I believe so. Tired with whatever you hear or read online that may make you tired? I believe this is applicable. When you hear the phrase, "Jesus is the answer," many unbelievers say, "What is the question?" Because they don't understand that the Lord Jesus provides answer, solution to problems that we may face. He has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And there's no specific or anything that mentioned there that he can only, because it includes everything. What do you consider? The ordinary or general idea of rest is to do nothing, lying, relaxing. That is the general idea. Is this what the Lord wants us to do when he invites us to come to him and do nothing and just relaxing, sipping our favorite soft drinks or coffee, tea? To find rest in Christ is to take his yoke. To take his yoke and learn from him. The yoke that he has been saying is his word, his instruction. His instruction or his yoke is easy and light. I don't think so. Somebody said, yes, it's light. Only when we ask the Holy Spirit of Christ to enable us. But on our own strength, it's tough. It's hard. What's the instruction of the Lord to you personally lately that you just cannot do? You cannot do because you are using your strength, your effort. But when you sense that it's tough, then ask the Lord, "Lord, help me depend upon you and obey your instruction." The Lord's instruction is his yoke to guide us where we go, the right path. His instruction or yoke is easy and light when we allow the Holy Spirit of Christ to help us, to guide us. So it's not about doing nothing. The rest that the Lord offers is not about doing nothing. Instead, we still do what we ought to do with Christ teaching us our guiding principle. Well, Apostle Paul exemplifies how to find rest in Christ. Now, let's look at this. In our passage, when Paul heard that prophecy that he will be bound in chain, his share of the yoke appears heavy because the Lord told him, be my instrument to teach about my grace. It appears to be heavy in the eyes of ordinary person, but the obedient Spirit of Christ inspired Apostle Paul to keep on to his mission, even if it's like very hard to do. Indeed, the prophecy about him that he will be persecuted in Jerusalem was fulfilled. Apostle Paul was persecuted in Jerusalem. Let's read again verse 33 to 36. The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing and some another. And since the commander could not get at the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great he had to be carried by the soldiers. The crowd that followed kept shouting, "Get rid of him." Apostle Paul had experience, and it happened. He knew that he would be bound in chains. That persecution, that he would be bound in chains, he knew before that happened. He didn't worry about what may happen to his life. He didn't worry if it would happen. He didn't ask the Lord, "Lord, don't allow that to happen." He didn't ask that. And many times we ask the Lord not to do what we hope that would not happen in our life. But for Apostle Paul, whatever the Lord told him, he trusts that the grace of God is sufficient for him. He knew that the prophecy will surely be fulfilled. He did not know how. Some brothers actually know about the persecution, know about the prophecy, and they gave some good advice to him. They told him, do this and do that. You need to show them that you are not breaking the law of Moses. You need to be purified. You need to do this ritual. And he did. Paul did as suggested by the brothers, disciples in Jerusalem, being obedient to the law because he lives according to the law. The believers who suggested that what Paul should do, they hope for the betterment of Paul, and they hope that the prophecy would not happen, yet what God has declared would surely happen. Whatever the Lord says, it would be done. The Lord said that Paul will suffer for Christ. It was fulfilled. Well, the believers in Jerusalem suggested that Paul should practice ceremonial cleansing according to the law of Moses to show the Jewish people in Jerusalem that he was obedient to the law. Apostle Paul followed their suggestion. He was obedient. He did not say, even if I would do that, he didn't complain about that. He did, as the disciples suggested, because to him, maybe it was also a good suggestion. But obedience to the law or good advice from believers did not stop the opposition to attack Paul. Why was that? The crowd were easily persuaded with false accusation. Why? Well, the Lord warned it. The Lord warned Apostle Paul that he will be persecuted in Jerusalem. And whatever the Lord says, it will surely be fulfilled. The Lord said that Paul will suffer for his name, and it was fulfilled. And in the midst of persecution, Apostle Paul continued to serve the Lord. He did not quit. God's grace sufficiently supplied him with joy, peace, to keep on the mission purposes that the Lord assigned for him. Well, genuine Christians hope to serve God severely. Sincerely. They also experience severe trials, an unpleasant situation. But that desire to serve, we have that. Every Christian have that desire. And we saw that in the first century among the apostles. Apostle Thomas might be very sincere when he said, John 11:16. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him." Now the context of this was, the Lord Jesus told them, "I will go to Jerusalem, and the elders will hand me down to the Gentile to persecute me, to kill me." And that was why. "Well, we will go with you. We will die with you." That was how I interpret Thomas said. That was a noble claim for Apostle Thomas. But the truth was, maybe he was just trying to encourage the other disciples, the other apostles, and that was very good for him. Or, on the other hand, he could be very sarcastic, thinking like, "If you die, then we'll die with you." And as a result, they turned their back when Christ was arrested. And still, many people would claim that they have received eternal life. Have you received the gift of eternal life? Yet, many people say, I prayed like, "Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I prayed that prayer, forgive my sin. By faith, I claim that." They prayed that sinner's prayer. But do they have faith? The testing of faith is necessary for us to know if we really have faith. It's necessary for us to realize if we really have matured in our faith. Perhaps there's little faith, but to mature in your faith is another situation. We need to grow, mature in our faith. So when we are shaken in our faith, pray, "Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Increase my faith, Lord. I want to mature in my faith. I want to grow strong in my relationship with you, Lord." On that night, when the Lord Jesus was arrested, it says in Mark 14:48-50, Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with sword and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me, but the scripture must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. That everyone that it pertains to the apostles. Every apostle that had been following him, they deserted him when the Lord Jesus was arrested. Not only Thomas. Like Thomas, we can also be sincere in our thought and think, "Yes, I have faith in the Lord," when everything is doing fine. But when it seems like God is silent, when it seems like God is not answering our prayers, would you still trust him? When personal concerns become so heavy to bear, will you still find it worthy to worship God? Many times we forget that all believers, every one of us is given a fair share of struggle. Why is that? Because it helps us measure where our faith is. And Christians who have grown mature in their faith continue to be faithful in the Lord, because faithfulness is a result of faith. How is your faithfulness? That's how you would see where your faith is. Pray for increase of faith. Pray for growth in your spiritual life. Apostle Paul, in his faithfulness, he served the Lord. He served the Lord all his life. But God allowed Paul to be arrested, bound in chains. The soldier didn't know the facts, didn't know the reason why Apostle Paul has been attacked. They just arrested him. They just wanted to stop that commotion happening in Jerusalem. So they arrested Apostle Paul. Let's read again verse 37 to 40. As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the bars, he asked the commander, may I say something to you? Do you speak Greek? He replied. Aren't you the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the wilderness some time ago? Paul answered, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people. After receiving the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic, well, let's not think about what he said for a while. We'll study that later, maybe next Wednesday or on Sunday. Of course, Paul deemed necessary to tell the commander about him, and he testified. Apostle Paul may have sensed the opportunity to talk about the gospel of Christ even before a hostile crowd. Oh, this is a captured audience. They would listen. He was in the platform because they were carrying him, and he can see everyone. And that's an opportunity for him to testify about the Lord. And Paul might not be thinking about defending himself or reasoning before the people. He might have thought that it would benefit the people to know the truth about him and his message, the gospel of Christ. The people listened to him, but Paul was not able to persuade the people for them to be kind to him and stop persecuting him. The Lord said that he will be persecuted in Jerusalem. That's why they continued to persecute him. That hostile situation, it was a fulfillment of God's word. Although the testimony of Apostle Paul was not wasted, and the commander of the soldiers became more curious about Paul, the commander was listening and kept him secure, kept him safe. Now, that is a very good situation where the Lord used even non-believer to keep Apostle Paul safe. Those so-called Jewish people in Jerusalem, they were very hostile. They were persecuting Apostle Paul. And yet this non-believer commander, he was the one who kept Apostle Paul safe. And many times we Christians, we want to elect believers, right? In the government. Oh, I don't like that person because he's not a believer. He speaks so loud. He speaks unpleasant words. His life is unpleasant. And yet, God allowed unpleasant people to be in the authority. God's grace was more obvious during the challenging moments. Although they persecuted Apostle Paul, the Jewish people in Jerusalem cannot do anything to kill Apostle Paul. God did not allow the Jewish people to kill Apostle Paul. When God designed it, it will surely take place. It was God's plan that David will be king of Israel. And David was anointed as king of Israel eventually. Well, he was not installed as king right away when he was anointed as king. He was anointed as king when he was very young. He did not go to the palace and, "I'm the king because I'm anointed king." No. What did God do in his life? What did God allow him to do? He allowed him to serve in the army of King Saul. And he was promoted as commander of the soldiers of King Saul. And he was victorious in his mission. And King Saul became envious of him. In those times of serving the army of King Saul, it's when King David practiced his faith, grew in faith, trusting the Lord in all his battles. And he was very victorious in all his battles. He never lost any war because he trusted in the Lord. Even when he knew what to do, he asked the Lord, "What is it that I would do?" Well, because David, the commander of the army of King Saul, was becoming popular, King Saul tried to kill him. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 25 to 28, let's read this and recall that what happened. Saul and his men began the search. And when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard this, he went into the desert of Maon in pursuit of David. Verse 26, Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, "Come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land." Then Saul broke off in pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. He was about to capture David. And yet, suddenly, here comes the messenger saying, "We have problem, bigger problem, that more bigger than killing David. We can kill him anytime, sometime in the future. But this is the problem. The Philistines are coming to the attack." Well, God has chosen King David to become king of Israel. King Saul tried all his power and influence to get rid of David, but the will of God for David to become king of Israel has been fulfilled. And that experience of David inspired him to write Psalm chapter 8 and verse 2, when he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Now, that rock was not very huge rock. It was only enough, like if, for example, this building is the rock, it was only enough to hide David and his men on the other side and King and his 3,000 soldiers on the other side. There were only more or less 400 to 600 soldiers who were with David at that time, and 3,000 on the other side, and they were not able to meet because the Lord did not allow it to happen. And throughout history, a number or a few individuals has become instrument to discredit, to undermine those whom God has chosen. If the Lord has chosen you for a mission purpose, may it be at work, maybe at school, maybe in the community or in the church, nobody can stop, even if they try to discredit you. Nobody can stop what the Lord had planned for you. No human threat, no human intimidation, no human scheme, no human conspiracy can thwart what God, the Lord, has designed for your life. Just as those who opposed Apostle Paul, they tried to persecute him, they tried to eliminate him, but they were not successful of getting rid of him. The oppositions against the work of God will never succeed. They cannot be successful against God, but they will certainly reap the consequences of their actions. Praise God. When your share of problem, when your share of struggle, your concern become heavier. What did you say, Pastor? Praise God, when my problem is heavier. Yes, because the heavier your trials are, the stronger your faith has become. How's your faith? How's your problem? Health problem, financial problem, problem at work, problem spiritually, problem in your relationship. How is it working? Is it heavy? The Lord sees in you that your faith is growing stronger. That was why He gave you that struggle, that testing. It reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let's read this. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can endure it. Let's claim that a promise. Let's claim that God is faithful. The Lord loves you and me. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we'll remember that God has given the most precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, just for us believers to be saved and experience eternal life with Him in His heaven.